Heather Hardy is a boxer, and so you might expect this next story to be about the toughest opponent she's faced in the ring. But Heather Hardy's toughest opponent, her arch nemesis, if you will, isn't another fighter. It's the boxing industry itself. Heather Hardy tells us her story in her own words.
When I was a little kid, I was the biggest Yankee fan on the planet. And I really used to dream of running out of the bullpen and pitching like the eighth and the ninth innings and closing out a World Series game. And they didn't let girls play Little League. And I remember feeling sorry, like, why do I have to like baseball if I can't do anything? Why do I have to be a girl? After I had my daughter, like, for everything on paper, it looked like I should have been happy. You know, I had my daughter in preschool, I had a husband with a pension, I had health insurance. I mean, everything was so nice. But I felt like I was missing something in my life. Like, I would drop my daughter off to preschool and felt like, I can't believe I don't love this. And I felt like, am I a bad mother? Am I a bad woman? Am I bad at being a wife? Because I didn't love it. I didn't want to talk about coupons and go out for brunch with all the other moms. Like, I wanted to go back to this little karate school where I was taking classes and I could just be Heather. And I was taking these little kickboxing classes, or they put the radio on real loud and you jump around and hit the bag. And after 3 weeks of taking these classes, 3 weeks ever having gloves on my hands, the fight instructor asked me how much I weighed. So I told her, and she says, well, there is a kickboxing match in 2 or 3 weeks, and do you want to do it? And so much was missing in my life. Like I had this empty hole. I thought, why not? Why not? I'll do it. So here I am, the shyest girl in the world. Like, I'm the girl who will walk into a room and sit by myself, but for whatever reason, walking through that crowd of 2,000 people with the spotlights and the radio on and standing in that ring and beating this girl up so bad, I felt like a million puzzle pieces came together and just told me, this is what you're here for. This is your life. Very shortly after my first fight, went through a divorce, and it was like, leave, 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 leave. And he finally said, fine. And he took everything and he went. And I had Annie at home. I was working up to 6 jobs just to put food on the table for my daughter. My sister was living with me with her son, and she also wasn't getting child support. It was satisfying because I had mentally told myself that I was gonna make it. That I knew I could make it, that I had to get some more jobs, but I would do it. And we did. I mean, there were days I came home where we didn't even have 2 eggs to crack. And my sister would always joke about it and take my daughter with her little fake play shopping cart over to my mom's to go grocery shopping at grandma's house. When you have a kid and you have to do it, you figure it out. I just kind of evolved from the kickboxing. I had lost a fight. And the girl that I fought, she barely even kicked me. She just beat me with a jab and a right hand. So the next day I went to back to the karate school and said, you know, I will train 2 a days, 3 a days all summer. I want to do the rematch. Teach me how to beat her. And the coach at the time told me, honey, I don't want to disappoint you, but you got to accept that this sport isn't for everybody. Some people got it, and some people don't. And maybe you just ain't one of them that got it. I kind of went home thinking, like, man, maybe she's right. I still had a fire, you know? The same fire that I said, something's missing, I have to find what it is. It took a lot of time off, but so much of me was missing, not boxing, kickboxing, fighting, that I said, I got to go to Gleason's. I got to find a coach and find out if it's true. Within a year, I was ranked number one in the country as a boxer, so I guess I did have it. After I won the 2012 Golden Gloves, I came to the gym, and I said, all right, I'm ready to go pro. I won everything I want to win as an amateur. And one of the guys from my gym, we call him Blimp, he's a big guy. Blimp's son was signed with DiBella. Lou DiBella is probably the biggest boxing promoter on the East Coast. So he said to me, I'm going to talk to him for you. So he came into the gym next day and said, listen, I could get you a fight on the card, but you got to promise me you're going to sell 10,000 in tickets. I guaranteed him $10,000 in ticket sales. So I said, all right, I'll do it. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, no, I'm telling you, I'll do it. I don't care how I'll do it, but I will do it. My promoter was paying me $800. I sold $13,000 in tickets for my first fight. A lot of the girls told me just know going in that this is a hobby. This isn't a life. You do this because you love it, but you'll never make any money off it. I had that same feeling, like, why did I have to be good at this? When you have networks, big TV networks, who are saying that they're not ready to air female fights, it makes it hard for the promoters to put us and invest money in us because promoters make money when they get their fighters on TV. So for my whole career, I kind of just swallowed it, that I have two jobs. I have to win my boxing fights and I have to sell tickets and market myself. Then I fought in June on the Sean Porter and Keith Thurman undercard, which was going to be on NBC. And I had this big pitch. You know, Ronda Rousey made millions because Dana White put her on a pay-per-view card that millions of people were going to be purchasing and tuning into. The public had no chance but to either love her or hate her, and they loved her. And my thought in June was, tell me, what do you think would happen if Heather Hardy showed up and fought before Keith Thurman and Sean Porter? Would people turn off their television sets? And everyone kind of laughed about it, like, that's never going to happen. We're never going to do that. And I fought on the undercard, got another nice win. It was kind of like, oh, Heather's just never satisfied with what she gets. And then I kind of turned into that woman, the woman who was always asking for more. It was really discouraging because it seemed to me like everyone was missing the point. It's not about me. It's about all the other girls who are doing this who deserve a chance. Like, what don't you guys get? I finally backed off and I just kind of shut up and thought, you know, I'm always the one that's calling. Hey, I heard this one's fighting. Put me on the card. Oh, I heard this one's fighting. Put me on the card. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to make any more phone calls now. So I was kind of toying with the idea of switching to MMA. I was kickboxing again. And then I got a call from Lou DiBella himself. And it was about midnight. And I was drinking wine and eating pizza. And he says, I got something cooking. I said, is it going to be on TV? He said, I'm working on it. I threw that pizza down. It was back to running my miles.
Presenting Heather the Heat Hardy.
I was fighting Shelly Vincent. She was also an undefeated fighter from Rhode Island. We had a lot of people there. Pretty much packed the venue with people dying to see this fight. Other than to say I was super satisfied knowing that we were on television, didn't feel any different. That bell rings, punches in the face are still the same. One thing about this girl was she was so tough. She kept the fight through right to the end. And I won. And I beat her. And that was probably one of the most satisfying moments of my career. No freedom till we're equal, you know. My fight on August 21st was the first female fight televised on a PBC show, which is a long list of things that I've been the first female to do. Heather Hardy was the first female to fight at the Barclays, the first female to fight on the undercard of a PBC, the first female to fight on TV. You know, I want to be the first female to make some money doing this like the boys do. I'm not going to stop, not because I'm not satisfied, but because until the playing field is equal, you can't stop. I can't be satisfied with, okay, we gave her enough. Enough isn't enough for me. All of this has been so that my daughter, so that no one's daughter, has to feel like they're sorry that they're a girl. And if I could give anything to my own kid, it would be for her to see how hard her mom fought to make a future for her and to make it so that things are a little bit different the next go around.
That's boxer Heather Hardy in her own words. Our story was produced by Only a Game's Karen Given. We talked to Heather last September. In June, she made her MMA debut with a third-round TKO of flyweight Alice Yager. After the fight, she told reporters that she had fallen in love with MMA, but that she's not going to give up her quest to convince boxing promoters to feature women in their fights. Her next MMA fight has already been scheduled for October, and she's been described as an instant fan favorite.